Hallelujah. We've got power in the name of Jesus. I'm speaking this morning on relationship. Relationship is everything with God. That's what he wants most of all. He wants to be loved and to love with all our hearts and with all his heart. His heart is so much greater than ours, but he wants our heart above everything in the physical universe. That song we sang, that hymn in 1709, it was written by Isaac Watts, "Were the whole realm of nature mine, if I owned the whole universe," that is an offering or a present far too small. Far greater than that. Love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. And you can say, each one of us can say, personally, the greatest treasure that God wants, greater than the whole physical universe, is my heart. That's his treasure. And he longs for that treasure. And when the human race was separated from him, he sent his son to buy that treasure back and to pay for all the sin of the whole human race, past, present, and future. And that's the love of God, which is greater far than tongue or pen could ever tell. Hallelujah. In order to understand God's will, I'm reading now from our little Bible school course, just a couple of paragraphs. It's called Identification and Mind Renewal. It's a wonderful course. In order to properly understand God's will for him, the Christian needs to have clear knowledge and understanding of what Christ accomplished for him at Calvary. So he can know how to properly identify himself with Christ and his plan of redemption for man in order to properly align himself with Jesus in living out his life. The Christian needs to be transformed by the renewing of his mind by meditating on God's word. Now that word properly, wisdom, it needs wisdom. Wisdom is the ability to use knowledge properly and to apply it properly to the situation, okay? So a lot of things we're going to talk about is God's wisdom, the wisdom of God. We get to be in Christ by personally. It's a personal commitment, choosing to accept him as our Lord. We have to personally make a decision and speak to him. I say, "Lord, I want you to be in charge of my life. I give my life to you totally, completely, and utterly." It's a personal choice to accept him as our Lord, and we unite ourselves to him by an act of faith which accepts him as our Savior, risen from the dead. I know by revelation, by faith, I believe it's a gift of faith too to everyone who is called to the Lord, that he is the Savior. He is the only Messiah given among men whereby men can be saved, the only one. And I believe he rose from the dead. And I accept him. Now the script in Romans 10:10, it says, who accept him as Lord. But that's a personal choice we make. And he wants us personally to say, "You are my Lord. I bow down before you. I accept you to be totally, and I want you to be totally and completely in charge of my life." Amen? But we have to do that. That's a response. No, he can't force you. He can't force you to love him. It's a contradiction in terms. He can't force you to love him, but he can invite you and give you the faith, give you a gift of faith that the wisest thing you can do, the wisest thing you can do is to accept him and to give your life to him as your Lord. Amen. Love so amazing, so divine, demands my life, my soul, my all, everything. Completely and totally, I belong to Jesus. There's another song, "I Belong to Jesus." I belong to Jesus, and that's my choice. I'm so glad I made it. What a wonderful, wonderful person to person. Everything with God, with Jesus, and me is person to person, period. And it should be the same for each and every one of us. That's what he wants. And I so want to please him. I so want to be pleasing to him. And when we give him our total heart and soul and life and all, guess what he does? He gives us his total heart, soul, his love, everything he gives back to us. He has a lot more to give than we do, but he treasures. I'm the pearl of great treasure, a pearl of great price. I'm a treasure hidden in a field, the field of this world. And he searches me out, and he searched me out, and I belong to him. Hallelujah. I'm so glad he found me. Are you glad? Amen. There's nothing like it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Changing the topic a little bit differently now. This is from a meditation in the Book of Mysteries. In the mystery of the bride and the groom, who is the bridegroom? Who is the bridegroom? Jesus. God. God is the bridegroom, okay, in Jesus. In the scriptures in Hebrew, he is called the Katan, K-H-A-T-A-N. Katan means the bridegroom, but it goes much deeper than that. It can be translated as he who joins himself. Then another name for God, I said, is he who joins himself. You see, it is God who wills to join himself to you. That's what he wants. He wants to join himself to you so that you can be joined with him forever. And he calls himself a bridegroom. God is love. The Katan is love. It means you don't have to convince, you don't have to convince God to love you. I don't care how many sins you've committed and what wicked things you've done, you still don't have to convince him to love you. You know, people think, because it's a pattern that gets installed into our subconscious early in life, well, maybe if I do this, God will like me. We have that sort of underlying mindset. He likes you already. He might not like all the things that you're doing, but he loves you. He loves you so much that he sent his son to pay the price for you. And we should meditate on that. Say it to yourself. He loves me so much. He gave his life for me. He sent his son to pay the price for me. And in his eyes, I'm pure and holy and clean because Jesus has cleansed me by his sacrifice and by his blood. You know, we say it so simply, but there's nothing like it. It's incredible. Beyond all understanding. As Pastor Hank says, when he found out about the righteousness of God, that he was in right standing with God, he just wanted to jump up in the air and so forth. I feel the same way every day, all the time. He loves me. And it's not that I have to earn his love, because I can't. I can't. He gives it to me. He joins himself to me. And from all eternity, it says, for the Lamb was slain from the foundation of the world, it says in Revelation. From the foundation of the world, he planned, he will not let me go. And if I do go, if I separate myself from him, it's my own fault. Because he will always call me back. And Jesus has paid for all, no matter how many sins I have committed, and no matter what wicked things I have done, if I repent, it says in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9, God is not willing that anybody should perish. Not willing that anybody should perish. Even the worst sinner. That's not his will. But that all should come to repentance. The only way we can fulfill that will is to come to repentance. And so he always invites us. He always invites us. As the prodigal son said, Father, I have sinned against heaven before you And his father just put his arms around him and loved him and loved him and loved him. And if we repent before God, we say, Father, I've sinned against you. And I've sinned very grievously. But it also says if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, from all wrong relationship. And then I'm back in relationship again. And it doesn't matter what the sin is, because the love of God is greater than all the sin in the world. His mercies endure forever, forever and ever and ever. Hallelujah. I'm so glad. I need lots of mercy. Do you? Amen. Thank you, Pastor. Amen. We can all say amen. But his mercies, mercies, mercies are from everlasting to everlasting. From ever, oh, hallelujah. God is love. The bridegroom is love, and the one who becomes one with you. And it's not you who must approach him, but it is he who approaches you. He did not wait for me to draw near to him, but he sent his son to draw near to us. Hallelujah. He did not call out to us. He did not wait for us to call out to him, but we heard his word calling us. He called us to come to him. And as it says in First John, chapter one and verse nine, if we confess our sins, that's all you have to do. You have to acknowledge it before God and say, "I have sinned against you. I've sinned against you." And you know what God says? He says, I sent my son. He paid the price for that. There's no more sin. I don't even remember him because Jesus has paid the price. The mercies of God and Jesus Christ our Lord. Beyond all understanding. Beyond all understanding. And as I've said so many times, because it says, if the evil one had known the result of crucifying Jesus, he wouldn't have done it. And I asked the Lord, I said, you prophesied it. Surely he knew that. So he did it anyway. And Jesus said, it's very simple. He can't understand love. He can't understand love. He can't understand that love is the greatest weapon in the universe. The greatest weapon of all is the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen? That's it. It's beyond our comprehension. Hallelujah. And God is love. And the one who becomes one with us, it's not you who must approach him, but it is he who approaches you. And the mystery of the Katan, the bridegroom, the one who joins himself to us, is the mystery of everything, the mystery of salvation. For God is the one who joins himself to us. He has joined all that is him to all that is you. So there's no part of you that he will not join himself to, no matter how dark it is, no matter how sinful it is, no matter how ungodly, because he is the bridegroom, the one who joins himself, he joins himself even to our sins. He who knew no sin became sin for us. He took our sin, the whole human race, past, present, and future, and took it to the cross and paid for it because he wanted us to be made the right standing with God, the righteousness of God in him. He joins himself to you in every way, joining himself to everything you are, even and especially to the most ungodly parts of your life. He joins himself to that. And he took it to the cross and paid the price for it and set us free. Hallelujah. And because of this miracle, there is now nothing that can separate you anymore from his love. For he is the one who joins himself completely, totally, and forever to you. Hallelujah. God willed himself from all eternity. It says, from the foundation of the world, to to send the Son to pay the price for us. The one who joins himself as God. I'm going to tell you a little story. When I first met my late wife, Alice, she had a pretty tough life. She had been married to a man, and when he died, he cursed God as he was dying. And she had a lot of anger toward men. But she was in the chapel one day, just crying her eyes out. And she looked up, and she saw Jesus. And you know what he was doing? He was saying, just like that, no words. And she said, me? You want me? And he just kept doing that. And she knew that she was loved and clean. That's a wonderful story. I carry it with me. Let me describe the term flesh in the Bible. It talks about in Romans chapter 8, the sin nature in the flesh, the evil nature within us. Let's look at Romans chapter 8, and I'll read verses 1 to 8. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and of death. For what the law could not do, weak as it was, through the flesh, God did, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and as an offering for sin. He condemned sin in the flesh. The word flesh just keeps being repeated. So the requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. I just want to explain what is meant by that term flesh. Because in English, flesh just means our physical body. Okay? That's not what it means. That's not what it means. Flesh is a spiritual thing. It's a spiritual principle. He condemns sin in the flesh. We do not walk in the flesh. Now, flesh means one thing, and this is very simple. It's the part in us that is centered on self. We live in a flesh body, but our spirit is self-centered. We're born that way because of the fall. It's centered on self. That's the sin nature in the flesh. That's the thing that leads us to sin, that leads us to depart from God. Self. I want this. That's the sin nature. That's the flesh. It's centered on self. Look at babies. They can't help it. They're centered on themselves. If they don't have food, they cry. And it's inherited from Adam. Jesus never inherited the sin nature. Why? He was born of a virgin, and he was conceived by the Holy Spirit. So Jesus was totally and always was and always will be unselfish, unsinful, he who knew no sin. Now in us, we have a tendency to put self first above all others. It's a tendency in us. That's the sin nature in the flesh. We have a tendency to put ourselves ahead of others. Jesus joined to himself to us on purpose. His very nature was to put us first. He put us ahead of everything that he had to do. He put us ahead of himself by dying on the cross and paying the price for us. He came to put us ahead of himself. He is totally, absolutely and utterly unselfish. And the love of God is God is love. And the word for love is agape, which is self-sacrificing love. Jesus, as the Son of Man, came. Hallelujah. Let's look at John chapter 10, verses 17 to 18. This is Jesus with the parable of the good shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life so that I may take it again. No one has taken it away from me, but I lay it down on my own initiative. You could have got every demon of hell, Satan himself, trying to take Jesus' life, and he couldn't have done it. He could not have done it. The only way Jesus could die was to give himself. No one takes my life away from me. He says, I don't have to do this. But he says, I choose to do it. Amen? Just as the Son of Matthew 20 and verse 28. My memory is not that good anymore. Just turning to it. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. What's the operative word there? What did he come to do? To give. He came to give himself for you. Pay the price. Hallelujah. No one could force him to the cross. He wanted to redeem all mankind. And no one could stop him. No one could stop him. There was no self-interest in him that could stop him. Now in the garden, he cried, Father, if there be any other way, nevertheless, your will be done. Nothing could stop him from doing the Father's will, that he pay the price for the whole human race. He was nailed to the cross for me. Say it to yourself. He was nailed to the cross for me. He was. You too. All of us. Let's look at Revelation chapter 5. Verses 8 and 9. When he had taken the book, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each one holding a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, Worthy are you to take the book and to break its seals, for you were slain, and you purchased for God with your blood men from every tribe and tongue and people and nation. That's the whole human race, past, present, and future. And what do they do in heaven? They bow down before him and worship him in singing this song, Worthy are you. He's worthy of all blessing and praise and honor and glory. Look at Revelation 13, verse 8. And you don't have to go there. It says about the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Jesus and the Father, the Word of God, the Son of God and the Father, made a covenant that Jesus would come and pay the price for the whole human race. What's the motive behind it? There's only one motive. The totally unselfish, giving, agape love of God. Turn to Isaiah, please, 52. See some more examples of this. Isaiah And I'll start in verse 10. The Lord has bared his holy arm in the sight of all the nations, that all the ends of the earth may see the salvation of our God. God's arm is not shortened, nor is his strength ever abated or weakened. And the only way he could do this, fulfill his goal, was to pay the price for it. On purpose. Isaiah 53, verses 1 to 5. Who has believed our message? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up before him like a tender shoot, and like a root out of parched ground. He has no stately form or majesty that we should look upon him, nor appearance that we should be attracted to him. Now, Jesus, he called himself, the title, he said, the Son of Man. The Son of Man. He's the Son of God, but he's also the Son of Man. And he just looked like another human being. We didn't know. They didn't know. He was despised and forsaken of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and like one from whom men hide their face, he was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely our griefs he himself bore, and our sorrows he carried. Yet we ourselves esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. He didn't have to be. You could have sent 10,000 angels against him, and at one word, he could have withstood them. He says, no, I'm not going to do it. But he came to do it, to give his life for us. The chastening for our well, he was pierced through for our transgression, and he was crushed for our iniquities. The chastening for our well-being fell upon him, and by his stripes, by his scourging, we are healed. Hallelujah. This is a picture of the totally unselfish servant of God. It's totally unselfish, dying for others, for the whole human race. Jesus laid down his life for us on purpose. On purpose. And as I've said already, no one could force him. He wasn't forced to go to the cross. But it says at one time, knowing this was going to happen, Jesus set his face like flint to go to Jerusalem. He was so determined. He set his face, which means his will. Nothing could stop him from going to Jerusalem and dying for us. I love to sing the choruses. There is a Redeemer. Jesus, my Redeemer, Jesus, God's own Son, precious Lamb of God, Messiah, Holy One. Thank you, my Father, for giving us your Son. For giving us your Son and leaving your Spirit till the work on earth is done. He paid a debt he did not owe. I owed a debt I could not pay. I needed someone to wash my sins away. And now I sing a brand new song, Amazing Grace. Christ Jesus paid the debt that I could never pay. There's some great songs based on the Bible. And let's look at Ephesians 6 right now. And I'll read verses 12 and 13. Now, and in this life, our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God so that you will be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. The first thing you do is to gird your loins with truth. This is comparing it to a Roman soldier. They had armor around this part of the body. But the weapon, the thing that we arm ourselves with, is the truth. The truth is that Jesus has paid the price. Jesus has paid the price. And he has given us every good and perfect gift in Christ Jesus our Lord, coming from above, from the Father of lights. Jesus has totally broken all the powers of sin and death and hell. Hallelujah. He set me free. I think that meditating on the love of God and on the truth of God and on what Jesus accomplished is one of the great weapons we have, a great defensive weapons. Because the devil, all he do, Jesus said he's a liar and the father of lies. If he opens his mouth, it's to lie. But the truth will always set the lies aside. The truth is that Jesus is Lord and he's victorious and he's coming again. And Satan is a loser. And doing things selfishly, as he always suggests, he always plays upon our self-love, our self-interest. He always plays on that. But if we have the truth that Jesus paid for it all, hallelujah, hallelujah. And accepting him and being humble of heart is life, it's joy unspeakable. Joy unspeakable. That's one translation of James. First Peter chapter 1 and verse 8. See, my memory eventually comes around. It is joy unspeakable. Peter has said, I saw Jesus in the flesh, and you haven't, but you still know him. How do we know Jesus? From the Word of God and from the Holy Spirit making this real in our hearts. I know Jesus. I know what he's like, and so forth. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory, and the half has never yet been told. There's a song for that too. It is joy unspeakable. And then we put on the breastplate of righteousness. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. Now, righteousness, as I've explained many times, comes from an old word, old English word. It was originally right wiseness. And right wiseness means simply right relationship. I have right relationship with God the Father, because I've been cleaned from my sins. He doesn't remember them anymore. Jesus has paid the price. Keep reminding yourself of the truth. I think the most important weapon is the truth. The first one. Keep reminding yourself of what is. I am right, in right standing and right relationship with God, because Jesus paid the price for me. He doesn't remember my sins anymore. He doesn't remember my sins anymore. Now he says, put on an offensive weapon. Shod your feet, because the Roman soldiers had to put special sandals and whatever they wore on their feet with the gospel of peace. I have peace with God. And I shod my feet to bring that same peace to others. And I speak to God. You want to be at peace in your life? And have the joy of the Lord and peace in your heart. Just say, Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Hallelujah. He washed me white as snow. And bring that. When you bring that peace to others, you're acting unselfishly. You're acting unselfishly and you're bringing that peace. So get yourself ready to spread the word, to talk about Jesus and his love. And bring that peace of God to as many as you can. Amen? And that's our job. And then he says the shield of faith. The shield is just to protect yourself from the words and of your enemy. So if I trust in the word of God, faith is simply trusting God to keep his word. Okay, and the enemy's going to throw darts. Well, what about this? This is happening to you. This is happening to you. This is happening to you. I remember Kenneth E. Hagin said once he had four tires on his car that were so bald he couldn't drive in the daytime because the Texas highways were too hot and he would get blowouts. So he would drive at night. And he said, the passenger side started to say, what are you going to do now? And then he said, the rear driver's side said, what are you going to do now? What are you going to do now? And then finally all four wheels were saying to him, what are you going to do now? What are you going to do? It was just the enemy. What are you going to do now? So he pulled the car over, got out and said, bless God, I'm just going to trust that the word of God is true. And he got back in his car and drove off. That's called the shield of faith. That's what the shield of faith is. Okay? And the helmet of salvation, basically, it keeps your mind, keeps the devil out of your mind and his words and the lies of the devil. You'll know that it's a lie right away. And you have this, you know. And the Holy Spirit actually gives you that. The devil's going to say, you're going to die. You're rotten. God doesn't love you. He can't love you. Look what you've done. You say, yeah, but Jesus paid the price for me and I'm saved. I'm saved. Hallelujah. And you, nothing you can do about it, Satan. And if you want to do something, but talk to Jesus. Talk to him. It was his idea in the first place. And, you know, that's a good helmet of salvation. He can't talk me out of it. Jesus paid it all. He paid the price for me, and I'm free. And now the sword of the Spirit is called the Word of God, and that's what Jesus used on Satan when he was tempted in the desert. He says, it is written. And the Holy Ghost will help you with that. He'll give you exactly the words to say. It's written, Satan, that you're a liar anyway. I'm not going to believe what you said. It's also written that he paid the price for me, and I'm free. And I belong to Jesus. I'm God's family. That's why I give you those confession sheets where we do in our Bible school courses. Keep saying the scriptures over to yourself. All right. Let's look at 1 John. We're almost finished here. 1 John chapter 1. And verses 7 to 9. If we walk in the light, as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Now, in our relationship with one another, this is important. As Jesus said, and the word of God says, the commandments are, you shall love the Lord your God above all things, and your neighbor as yourself. Jesus even went further. He said, this is my commandment, that you love one another, and he used the word agape. As I have loved you, greater love no man has that a man lay down his life for his friends. We have fellowship with one another, and we lay down our life for one another, and we care for one another. Even your enemies. And I've had experience of that. And, you know, some guy just wanted to beat him to a pulp. But Jesus kept talking to me. The Spirit of God kept talking to me. He says, no, no. And then he said, Matthew chapter 5, verse 43, you've heard it said you should hate your love your friends and hate your enemies. But I say, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who despitefully use you and persecute you. So I immediately got down. The Holy Spirit showed me. I got on my knees and started to cry out for this man. I said, Lord, I don't want him to go to hell. I want him to be saved. And I started to intercede for him and intercede and intercede. And a spirit had gotten into me, spirit of hate. Guess what? As soon as I did that, whoosh, that thing was gone. That thing was gone. And the love of God reigned. Hallelujah. What a Savior. And I'm going to, verse 8 now. If we say that we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous or just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. But The lie from the devil is, well, you can't be forgiven. You can't be forgiven for that. And my answer is, well, it says, I've confessed it. So I'm back in right relationship with God, and it says that he doesn't even remember them anymore. He doesn't remember my sins. So I'm in right standing with him, in right relationship with him. So what are you going to do about that, Satan? He can't do anything about it. That's keeping our weapons of our warfare and the word of truth. Keep it fresh in your heart. Speak it to yourself. Meditate upon it day by day by speaking it to yourself over and over and over and over. And I'm going to end with Ephesians chapter 2. Verses 8 and 9. This verse has been not properly understood by many people. It's from the days of Martin Luther. He said, we're saved by faith. We're saved by... No, we're not. We're saved by grace. It's just the gift of God. We receive it through faith. We receive it through faith. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not as a result of works, that no one may boast. Let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. So it's pretty simple, isn't it? Jesus paid the price for me. I'll boast about him. Forbid it, Lord, that I should boast, save in the death of Christ my God. All the vain things that charm me most, I sacrifice them to his blood. We sang that this morning. Understand? It's a gift. It's a gift. It's a gift. It's a gift. And if you keep saying that, you can say it to all the attacks of the enemy. He gave his life for me. He gave his life for me. And grace is the only answer. It's the gift of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. He paid the price, and I'm free. I belong to Jesus. He belongs to me. I can't give you any words that can say anything better than that. It's totally a gift. Totally. A gift, that's what grace means. And it's paid for. I can't pay for it. I could never pay for it. I owed a debt I could not pay. He paid a debt he did not owe. But he paid the gift. He paid for the gift. That was the greatest gift of all, what Jesus has done. And this is a great scripture in my life. For by grace you have been saved. Whenever I just start to think of myself, I'm pretty good here, I say, shut up, stupid. By grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. Even your faith, is a gift of faith. Because Jesus asked Peter, he asked, who do you say that I am? And Peter said, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, blessed are you, Simon, son of John, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you. And I say to you, you are a rock. Now the word rock there was Petros. And you know we had the movie Rocky. You're solid and firm because... this was a personal revelation, a gift of faith from God. You know I'm the Messiah, and I believe he gives this gift to everybody, this gift of faith. Jesus is the Messiah, and no one can deny it. And the Holy Spirit will confirm that in your heart. What do you do with that knowledge? He's the Messiah, the Son of the living God. You accept him. You accept that gift. You accept that gift. Through faith, you trust God to keep his word. That's what faith is. And so, Heavenly Father, we come before you now. We thank you. Thank you, Lord, for sending your Son. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. Thank you for the weapons of our warfare, which are not human, but are mighty through God, to the tearing down of strongholds. I pray that we would all receive them this day to tear down any strongholds of doubt or self-loathing or hatred, self-hatred, anything negative. Father, I pray that we would have a revelation again by the Holy Spirit that we are so precious in your sight, so precious, that we are the pearl of great price that you would pay anything for. Thank you, Father God. Father, I pray that you would again, by a gift of faith, by the Spirit of God, plant this in each and every heart within the sound of my voice. Each and every heart. Each and every heart, so that we would know that we 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 are in right standing with God. Amen. That we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. That we would know that we are in Christ, that we are in him, and that we belong to him. And Father, help us to make this real by the Spirit of God. And Holy Spirit, just come and keep talking to us and bringing us in the way of salvation so that we would grow up into Christ. We would grow up into our relationship with you and in Christ. Amen and amen. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Can't say anything more than that. It just makes so much sense to me. Hallelujah.